doing anything exceptionally well requires commitment and perseverance. The result of such efforts are those things that enjoy high regard and stand the test of time. We are driven to create exceptional radio by bringing together talent, creativity, determination, preparation, and painstaking craftsmanship. Anything less would not be worth the effort. The Common Man Program starts right now.
And boom! Why should anybody aspire to be a common man, an average man? Do you realize what it means to be average? That means you're the best of the lousiest, and the lousiest of the best. Now, if we demand more and more for producing less and less, while the have-not nations encourage and inspire and indeed require hard work and maximum effort, if we deify the common men while they encourage and reward the uncommon ones, well, the end result of such a lopsided race as that is too obvious to require elaboration.
It's like, hello? Out of hundreds of deals that I've done...
Hundreds.
How do you like me now? How do you like me now?
I'm a fraud.
Yes.
We're coming.
Genius.
Game plan looks like.
Objects in your mirror may be closer than they appear.
That's stuff for Caveman to talk about, and the second guessers and everything like that.
It's not that cold out. Come on, suck it up a little bit. It's much ado about nothing. Especially when, okay, online, Fish Wrap West Side. Everybody's doing it. I bet we did. Did we do it on KFAN.com? By the way, Doc Donaldson in for Tenet B today.
What's going on, Common?
Just waiting for the crescendo here.
You want the clown from Brown?
Oh, sure.
He's the clown from Brown.
Well, I thought that was already
included.
He's the
fourth in the North. This is the Common Man, Dan Cole.
Did we do it on KFAN.com? Did we do the, here's some tips to survive the 2 days of brutally cold weather?
We did.
Did we really?
We certainly did.
How many people actually read it and said, I don't know what to do. I've only lived in the state for 25, 30, 40 years, but I have no idea what I should do. I know it's, again... I think I saw it hasn't been this cold in 20 years. With the wind chills, it'll be 30s today. I think tomorrow it really bottoms out with maybe 50. Okay, well, we've experienced 20s and 30s before. I mean, once you get past 30 or 40 below, it's every man and woman for himself at that point, right? I mean, it's
pretty
like,
much,
okay,
yeah.
Here's your survival tip. Don't go anywhere. Stay in your house. Just don't leave. And if you have to go to work, drive straight there and come home. The winter survival thing, they had it on Star Trek. You know, coffee can with a candle. They don't. But that used to be one of the items you're supposed to carry in your winter survival thing. But jacket, boots. Well, I've got boots and a jacket on when I leave the house, but I do have the extra set of boots just in case my car were to stall. I got the, are they Sorel packs? Is that what they're called?
Yeah, for sure. Those are nice.
I'll slip my feet into those just to keep warm. But, you know, it's bring food and safety flares. And it's like, well, if you're traveling like up 35 up to Hinckley at 4 o'clock in the morning, yeah. But is there anybody right now in the Twin Cities metropolitan area in broad daylight, if your car stalled on the side of the road, are you going to die? There's no chance. You won't die. So let me just, for those that are right now frightened and thinking they could die, you're not going to die. Because you don't need to send up a safety flare. You don't need to put off that little reflective triangle. You don't need to wave people down. Just take your cell phone and call Uber and say, look, my car's broke down. Can you come and get me? It's really not that difficult to do.
You would hope not.
Well, no, it's not.
Especially for tough guys like us up in the North and Midwest.
Yeah, but it is bitterly cold. There is no question. And I wouldn't recommend going for a walk right now. Because did you know that with temperatures like this, you can get frostbite in 5 minutes? Yeah, I know. That's why I don't go outside. So, but I'm here. I made it. Car's running. Got gas in it. And we're still alive and well. Still alive and well. Every now and then, I know it's kind of hard to tell, but it's still alive. I'm still alive. Well, now, apparently there were some can you do Paul's intercepted emails? Do you know where that open is? If you don't, that's okay.
I'll have to tap dance to find it.
Don't worry. We don't need it. This was sent to somebody's bitter with Nordo.
Uh-oh.
Does Nordo think it's ridiculous that schools are closed today and tomorrow? Would he think those selfish teachers and terrible driving bus drivers are just being weak? Love the show. Think Nordo's take is a joke, signed Brandon. What was Nordo's take? Did you hear it? Do you know? Do you have any indication?
I heard some of it yesterday, and it was mostly off the air when he was kind of regretting what he said. I think he basically just called for more schools and more people, and I don't want to speak for Nordo because I didn't hear it, but
go ahead,
to be more like Bloomington.
Take him out of context.
Yeah, to be more like Bloomington, who I guess they gutted it out yesterday. They were like the only school in the metro area that didn't have a delay or a cancellation, straight-up cancellation. Oh. So he was saying, you know, basically more people have to be like Bloomington. We've got to be more tough guy.
Yeah.
But I think the decisions that go into those types of things go a little bit deeper than that.
Well, of course they do. I mean, it's most school districts have a policy
right. Where,
you know, if you live a certain distance from the school, you're on your own, you know? And so it's like, I know there are kids. I drive my kids. We do the carpool thing for the middle school. I see kids walking to school every day, walking. And they're walking a good mile, close to a mile. You can't have them walking to school in weather like this.
No chance.
And now you could say, well, if you live within a mile, you get the day off. Well, then what? So some kids are off, some aren't. Then you have the controversy about they're losing school time, and they're at a distinct disadvantage now educationally because they've missed 2 days, which I don't believe, but let's just go with that. That's what a lot of parents would say. It's just school. Give them the days off. Kids love it. Bloomington to do what they want. They can suck it up. I mean, you know, we talked about this yesterday. I had several people from the South Washington County School District, or several parents of children in the South, and I had somebody from the school district say I was spot on, which of course doesn't surprise anybody. Does it? That Washington County, a couple of years, you know, they always wait till the last second, and they were really—I mean, it basically had to be Armistice Day type of blizzard in order for them to stop. They're just not going to do it, and of course, they didn't. Everybody else did. We were one of the few, and it was a mess out there. And I think kids were on buses and, like, you know, 9 hours after school closed. So they realized. So now they've kind of gone the other way. And even when they did cancel, they would pull the plug at 5 a.m. the day of. So you'd get that call. If you hear the phone rings, you know what it is. This is robocall, right? This is Washington County School District. No school today. Well, you know, thanks for telling me an hour before they're supposed to be there. You know, we got to arrange, you know, a lot of people have to arrange daycare, childcare, right? So I'm all for letting the kids stay home, right? Well, it just doesn't make any sense.
I got maybe one snow or cold day.
Even waiting out on the, even waiting out at the bus stop is not good. It's just,
no.
Look, I'm a high school dropout. I missed a lot of school. We're only talking about missing a couple of days a year because of weather. Let it go. Quit trying to. And I don't know. Does it have to do with federal subsidies to schools? And if they're not in session, they don't get money for that day. Is this a financial thing? Always follow the money. you know what? Let it go. It's kids. It's not a big deal. It's where there's nothing they were going to learn at school today that they can't learn tomorrow. Ask not what the common man can do for you, what you can do for the common man.
Brilliant.
So just be smart. Just warm the car up. The one thing I will say is I've heard you should keep a lot of gas in the car because your gas line can freeze at night. So keep your car filled up. See,
that's simple as that.
That's my public service announcement. Now there's another. This isn't Paul's intercepted emails, but here was one that came in to booth@kfan.com, courtesy of the Brad Sean Bryant inbox, and it was intended for Richard Pitino. And it says, what's your issue with the fans, Pitino? Doesn't really make the average fan want to rush out and spend money on your program when you come on local radio and are nothing but a smartass. Kind regards, Doug. What did he do today? Was he a smart aleck? And was it regards to the fans? I didn't hear that part. I caught the tail end when I walked in here. So I didn't hear any smart alecky Richard Pitino stuff today, but I'd be curious if anybody else heard what they meant by that. Pitino's got a good sense of humor. We text and talk more than most people. No, we don't text, but we did talk. I had a chance to chat with him, and not really in depth. It was a 5-6 minute conversation at Toys for Tots at Fleet Farm this year where he brought the Gopher basketball squad there because the Toys for Tots was on a Tuesday. We said, hey, you know, we're doing Toys for Tots. You don't have to do your show. He goes, I'll do my show at Fleet Farm. And we had a nice, he's got a nice sense of humor. And so I don't know, was he being smart allocated to the fans today?
I think he said something like, you know, how nice the community is here,
right?
Like how he gets his driveway shoveled for him, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe he was saying it a little tongue-in-cheek, but I was kind of double-dutying it.
All right.
When I was in that chair, so I didn't get to listen to the whole show.
Well, it sounds controversial. It always is on the fan. Jeremy's calling. Jeremy, you're on the fan. What brings you here today?
Hey, I just wanted to give a shout-out. I feel like, you know, sometimes people deserve some recognition, and I'd like to give a shout-out to the Annandale Public School District because they have opened up their facilities for Kids Club for all of us parents who still have to go to work even
That's
though
nice.
They shut down the school. So truly appreciative, and I think other schools need to kind of take
yep.
notice and to do something similar because it's tough out here as a parent.
Thanks, Jeremy. Appreciate that. you're absolutely right. Other school districts, I think, do that. I thought I saw a fish wrap factory. Was it West Side or where did I see it? Is there a new law here in the state of Minnesota that says if you have children, school-age children, and they close because it's of weather-related, you can take the day off and you have to be paid? I know I read that somewhere.
That'd be news to me.
Maybe someone can tell. Yeah, it's a brand new, I think it just got passed. Either that or I dreamt the whole thing or it was somewhere else. Can somebody either email or call and tell me if that is true? Because I think that's See, my kids can stay home by themselves now. They're 16 and 14, or just about 14, 16, 13 and a half. So they're all right by themselves at home. They don't have any issues with that. But when you have the school-age kids and both parents are working, it's a tough call. What do? Take a day off work? Some people aren't. It's very difficult to take a day off work. So I like it. The world is a village. Is that what it is? I don't remember what that old saying is. Let's do this. Oh, I got a great tease. We got some calls coming in. We'll take those, but I have a tease. I have a new segment that I don't have the open for yet, but it's going to be called the Out of Touch Athlete. And then I thought we would play Hall & Oates' Out of Touch. You're out of touch. The Out of Touch Athlete. Got another Out of Touch Athlete moment. We'll have that. Other side of the break. Common Man. Program on the Fan.
The Common Man.
I think he should be ashamed of himself. He does nothing. It's sure. all talk.
Weekdays at noon on The Fan.
Time for our national cash contest. You can listen to The Fan every hour for your keyword and your shot to put a grand in your hand. This hour, your keyword is ball. Text the keyword ball to 200-200 to enter. Standard text messaging and data rates may apply.
The day I was born.
The nurses all gather round.
What year was this recorded?
I would have to guess. Otherwise, I can IHOP an answer.
It's
got to
be 90s and 2000s. Now I'm trying to get in touch with the millennials.
No, this is earlier than that, isn't it?
It's 80s, probably.
Yeah.
Younger generation doesn't have time for Eric Burden and the Animals. I mean, 311's light years ahead of the Beatles. You know that.
That's a good point.
They don't want to listen to my music anymore. And I don't really think the bumper music has anything to do with it. You either like the Grom or you don't like the Grom, old or new. But maybe some people don't want to hear Chain Gang for the 1,482,232nd time. So
this was released in 1982.
Yeah, it's too early. No. That's out of the demographic, man. We're trying to get younger. We're trying to get hip now with it and wow.
Duly noted.
So find something in the last 10 years anyway. I mean, our core audience really is mostly, mid-20s to mid-40s. What's the wheelhouse there for music?
Oh, I got something for you.
Wheelhouse it then, would you?
Yeah, as soon as these songs load up in our system here.
Yeah, try to wheelhouse it if you would. A lot of controversy we've stirred up here. Here's an email courtesy of the Bradshaw and Brian inbox. We'll get to those calls momentarily. Says, I've been hearing people complaining about stores and shops closing. They say, take an Uber. Just get in your car and drive. Most of these places have minimum wage workers. They probably don't have cars or can afford an Uber, and standing at a bus stop might not work for them. Get over it. You're going to be fine for a day without going to the store and getting your latte. Love the Grom Gal. I've not heard any complaints about business closings. Are there a lot of businesses closed?
Not really. Not that I've seen.
I called two today because I wanted to take care of two things. John's Tailors in Roseville. I needed to bring a pair of... we talked about, remember, we just, about 2 weeks ago, we talked about every time you read anything about Ryan Saunders, they talk about tailored suits.
Sure.
His high, expensive. Well, don't most people get their clothes tailored? So I went to the tailor today. I called first, answered the phone. You're open today? Absolutely. Then I needed to go to Pilgrim Dry Cleaners, which, of course, I work hand in hand with them, along with Dave Ryan over at KDWB. And they were open as well, so I went to both places. So I've not heard of many business closes, but if someone decides to, that's why I called, because I wouldn't have been surprised if they said, you know what? Hey, employees, we're giving you the day off. Now, I don't think you want to, I hope hospitals don't take the day off. Police, fire, there's certain people that, and radio, we've got to work. But otherwise, if they take it, I don't know. Yeah, it wouldn't bother me. I didn't hear any grumbling, but apparently that's what Love the Grum Gal says. Is this Curran? Is that the name?
Yes, sir. How are you doing, Curran?
I'm doing well, Curran. How are you? What brings you to the Grum today?
The ice cold and warm car.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I have the whole reasoning behind what you brought up about the inclement weather type situation where an employee has to be paid for their day.
Yes.
It does exist in the city of Minneapolis, I know for sure. It comes with the sick and safe time bill that passed, and that's basically you accrue an hour every 30 hours every 30 hours you work, you get your crew with 1 hour. It's capped at 48 a year, okay. 80 overall. So you can use it for illness, injury, medical rest, recuperation, appointments, any time to take care of a sick child or family member, as long as your business has more than six people.
Okay.
So it definitely exists in the city of Minneapolis. I'm not sure where else it does.
Thanks for the phone call. I appreciate
no
that.
Problem.
That's a good update. Yeah, somebody else sent an email that says, Common, Minneapolis sick and safe leave. He says, howdy, Common. Minneapolis enacted a new law in July of 2017 that requires employers to allow employees to use earned sick leave to stay home with their kids if school is called off. That's probably what you dreamt, and your dreams have come true. Why would my boy be calling me right now?
Maybe it's the call you've been waiting for your whole life.
I know it's my boy. Hold on. That was Deuce.
Everything okay?
Yeah, everything's fine.
He didn't get any frostbite or anything
like
that?
No, but it was like, I go, I'm on the air, and he goes, oh, okay, bye. No, what did you need? And he just wanted to have a couple buddies over.
Uh-huh.
I said, yeah, go ahead. Knock yourself out. So again, Tony says that's exactly what the law is. I sent a phone call now from Bruce. Bruce is calling in, I'm told, all the way from Minot, North Dakota. Bruce, you're on the fan. What's up?
Not much, Common. I just need to... I've got a theory here that the closer you get towards the state of Wisconsin, the weaker a person gets.
What do you mean now?
Well, I mean, I've been working all day today. It's 22 below right now. It's supposed to get down to 35 below tonight. Wind chills are 65 to 70, and everybody's running around. Our kids are in school. Everything's ducky.
Schools are running in Minot?
Sure they are.
Yeah. So, well, then, is that called brain freeze, then? Are your brains froze up there? That's ridiculous. Give your kids the day off. They're not going to learn anything in school. It has nothing to do with being soft. It's just the idea is like, let the kids have a couple of days off. Why not? There's nothing they're going to learn in school right now that they can't learn tomorrow. Ask not what the common man can do for you, but what can you do for the common? Put off today what you can learn tomorrow. No, put off until tomorrow to what you can learn today or something like that.
You know, I wish my clients felt that way.
Thanks, Bruce. Appreciate it. So he says up in Minot there, schools are in session. Of course, isn't Minot so small that like you're a block from the school, right? I mean, it's not a very big city. So there you go. Very controversial. I will, I didn't realize the weather conversation was going to take up a decent portion of the Grum. So let's do you're going to love this. Matter of fact, I have two instances of the out-of-touch athlete. One is kind of questionable, but I still find it funny. One's local, one's national. I'll explain. Other side of the break, it's the Common Man program on the Fan.
The Common Man.
Unbelievable! Absolutely unbelievable!
I got goosebumps.
Weekdays at noon on the Fan.
You probably think that you are better now, better now. You only say that cause I'm not around, not around. You know I never meant to let you down. Would've gave you anything, would've gave you everything. You know I
it ain't Dire Straits, Sultan's a Swing, that's for sure. Who'd this be?
This be Post Malone.
Post Malone. If you said Post Malone, I'd say that was when Carl Malone, the mailman, would get down in the low post. Well, seriously, I would have thought Post Malone, like the weird uncle of Sam Malone from Cheers. I don't know. Post Malone is the name? Is that his name or is that just the name of the group?
That's his stage name. That's his name.
Oh,
yeah.
Post.
Post Malone.
Post Malone. Okay. The kids love him.
Kids love him.
Okay, good for them.
He's got face tats.
God, I would love a face tat. If I were to get one, it would be a picture. It would be a bright blue, probably Honolulu blue, on my forehead of a rat vomiting. I think that would look so cool.
Yeah, man. Definitely.
Face tat, rat vomiting.
Brilliant.
This email says, on-air phone call. I absolutely love that Common just took a personal call on air. You can't make that up. And then he laughed. Did I have the mic on or off when I was having my phone
I turned
call?
It off for
oh,
you.
Oh, I wanted you to have it on.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you
See,
did.
See, I looked down. No, No, I've been doing this for a long time. You're telling me 10 seconds to your my commercial life's at. I've been doing this at a high level for a long
sure.
time. Sure. I wanted my end of the conversation on the air.
Okay. My bad.
Yeah,
next time you get your call, I'll let you have your mic on.
I'll handle my... Well, it's not going to happen again, probably. So I thought a brilliant radio moment, you basically ruined it.
Well... that's why I'm the interim to the interim.
Yeah.
That's why I don't have the big bucks.
I guess.
That's why I'm in this chair only every now and then.
So there's this one more call on that. Says even better than Deuce calling Common while on the air is Common taking the call. Genius. See? And if my end was just beautiful. Because I looked down and I didn't remember turning the microphone off.
Yeah, well, that's because I did it for you because I thought you meant to and then just forgot. And I didn't know if you wanted the, you know, airwaves to hear your personal call with your son.
Of course I did.
Yeah, that's my fault. I wish we could get back that moment and I could just hit the old.
I cut open a vein. So this is a new bit. It's going to be called, I don't have an open for it yet because I just thought of it today. It's going to be the Out of Touch Athlete. And then time now for, and then it'll be Hall & Oates going, you're out of touch, I'm out of time, time, na, 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 and when, two instances. And I don't know if this really qualifies. One certainly does, I think, qualifies. That's the national one. Let's go with the local one first, though, okay? Fish Wrap West Side, the size and section below the fold. Timberwolves story. Big minutes, no burden for seasoned reserves. Okay. You don't need the music. That's okay. I appreciate you trying. It's okay. Big minutes, no burden for seasoned reserves. Sells well-prepared pros, Bayless, Deng, and Tolliver filling injury void. Story says, each player's found themselves riding the bench for extended periods or extended stretches, but of late, the Timberwolves have needed the veterans to get through a stretch in which four regular contributors have been hurt. One word you'll hear a lot from teammates and their coach mentioned when talking about them is professional. How they haven't disrupted the team with their disappointment in not playing. Now they've stayed ready, waiting for a moment like this when their Wolves would need their services. Luol Deng says, I told these guys, you always got to stay ready and stay positive. You just never know. Such a long season, when you're not playing, it's all right to be frustrated, but you can't let that affect your work ethic or your attitude toward your teammates. Once you do that, it sets you back even further. So they haven't disrupted the team with their disappointment and not playing a lot, right? You got to always be ready, blah, blah, blah. So then I looked up payroll for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and I thought, this will help you deal with your disappointment not playing a lot. Luol Deng is making $2,393,887 this year to ride the bench.
You think you could
deal with the disappointment of not playing, Doc Donaldson?
Oh, that's not a bad gig if you can get it.
$2,393,387.
I think I could deal with it.
Meanwhile, Anthony Tolliver. You know how much he gets paid to deal with his disappointment and not playing very much? $5,750,000.
You've got to be kidding me.
And if you want to know what Jared Bayless does in order to avoid the disappointment, he gets $8,575,916.
You've got to be kidding
me. So again, I get it. You're a pro. You play basketball. You'd love to be, I want to be like Mike. Sometimes I dream that he is me. I'm sure you had the dream as a kid of making the game-winning shot. You'd like to be LeBron. But then you go, yeah, I'd like to play a little more, but you know what? God, I'm pulling down $5 million to just keep the warm-ups on and sit there and check out babes in the stands and laugh and joke. And we're a terrible team in a terrible city with terrible fans, a terrible stadium anyway.
Brilliant.
But, you know, the odds got to work. You know, the disappointment of not playing. It's good.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, well, it is brilliant. I would take that gig in what they call a New York minute. Now there's this one. The Out of Touch Athlete. This was sent to me by Jeff sent this to me. He actually nominated it for a preposterous statement. It says, PST commit, I mean 10B. I heard this on the NFL Network yesterday and had to roll my eyes, shrug my shoulders, and shake my head. Which you will do, and you could nominate this for preposterous statement, but I call it the Out of Touch Athlete. This is Julian Edelman, wide receiver, is he slot receiver?
Yeah, for the Patriots. Exactly.
I'll read the paragraph. It says, Julian Edelman, talking about the past 12 months for him, have been mentally exhausting and very challenging. He went on to talk about missing the Super Bowl last year due to injury, wife had a kid, knee surgery, missing a few weeks of the season. Of course, emailer says, close circuit to Edelman, you're not the first person to ever have a kid, a knee surgery. In fact, I've done both, and I didn't get to play in the big game ever. All the time off from work put us behind on our bills, etc. By the way, I don't make $3.7 million a year. Now, that's mentally exhausting. Nobody heard me complain about it on TV, nor would anyone care. And that goes back to, now, I don't think Edelman was doing it. Boy, I've really had it tough here. But the idea that he would say it's been mentally exhausting and challenging for me, which I'm sure it has, but again, you have to, when you become the pro athlete and you have the kind of life that you do lead, 3.7, you're catching passes from Brady, and I'm sure it was bad missing the Super Bowl last year, and you know, your wife had a kid, and you know, you had a knee surgery, missed a few weeks of the season, but you know what? No one's really going to feel real sorry for you, right?
No, the average Joe would kill for that position.
Exactly what the guy just said. He says he had knee surgery, and they had a kid, and he didn't get to play in the big game, and he had to take time off work and didn't get paid and had to juggle bills and such like that. But it's the out-of-touch athlete is what it is. The out-of-touch athlete who should just think, I'm not going to complain about anything. Oh, it's mentally exhausting for poor Julian Edelman. Sad, really. Phone call from Sick Cat Guy. Sick Cat, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
Oh, no problem. It's been so long. Man, so much has happened just since I got on the line to talk.
Right.
I had to write things down. I mean, first of all, I got a music suggestion.
Okay.
Trying to, you know, get a little more hip now with it and wow mm-hmm. and such. You might have heard of a band called Sublime. It's 90s, late 90s, so it might freshen it up a little bit. Kind of reminds me of that hot, up-and-coming band, the Dank Skank, which you may have known.
Yes, I'm very familiar with Dank Skank.
Yeah, so I don't know what happened to them, but Sublime, good band. You might want to check out some of their stuff.
Sublime.
And then you moved on to Face Tats, and I don't think I could... I mean, there's got to be a Kickstarter, GoFundMe, something you can do, because I want to see that. Did you say a vomiting rat?
Yeah, a bright Honolulu blue on my forehead, a rat vomiting, I thought would be a great tattoo. I don't know why.
Well, I mean, the nice part about that is that I think that'll improve your face for radio, if that really can be done.
I won't argue with you at all. Sick cat.
All right, and then before I move on to the a retort to the gentleman from Minot, I just have to say, did you say that you've been doing this for at a high level for a long time?
Wait, as Dark Star would say.
Well, there's that.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe I misspoke there.
I had the Ialto to myself.
Yeah, I get that.
Listening to that one.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That one.
And then my retort to the, you know, how weak we are here closer to the state of Wisconsin. You know, a lot of it is just big city living. I know, like you talked about, Minot's kind of a small town. But, you know, I am a school teacher myself, so I do have the day off.
Yes.
I always love that one,
yeah.
Too. But a lot of those kids, they don't have the right clothes. They barely choose to wear the right clothes when they can. We're working with kids who are of many different income levels. And, you know, I'm sure the gentleman in Minot got his nice North Face or Carhartt or whatever he's got. But when kids are moving through clothes so fast at the age I see them, it's not just the right thing, so it's the right move to shut things down. But I think the Starbucks shutdown, I think that is pretty weak now that I think about it.
Thanks, Sick Cat Guy. I appreciate the phone call and your contributions to the Grum. We did cover a lot of topics there. It's a very fast-paced, helter-skelter kind of a program. It's called Radio Gardening. And you know how weeds grow out of nowhere, man. They'll start popping up everywhere. They come up overnight, sometimes every minute they're coming up. Someone else sent an email to booth@kfan.com that says, please bring back the old bumper music. I can't take these millennial interim producers picking music. It's awful. Please bring back the old program music. If you want to freshen up the music for the new and improved show, open up music selections by voting for the listeners using digital. Thanks, me boy. Maybe that's a good idea.
That's not bad.
I don't know how to go about doing that. Would I contact AJ Mansoor? Can I put up a Common Man program poll and we'll change it up? I don't know if we, and again, you know, and I don't like to rush into anything. I like to make sure everything is perfect when we launch the new idea. So this might take a year or two, but is it for a day? we do 9 segments a day, which means 8 have a piece of bumper music, as we call it in the biz, that leads out of the breaks. That'd be 8 pieces. Is do you get to vote per day? What time of day you'd like? I want to hear this coming out of the 1:15 break on February 8th, for instance, or whatever the day would be. Maybe that's the way we should do it. We'll have to think that through. Here's a, I had another, hold on. Here's one that says, new Grom music and school closing. It says, I work in Minneapolis public schools and am enjoying the barometric or the barbaric temperatures, as Mark Rosen referred to them. During the school year, I rarely get to listen to the Grom, especially live. With the new music and the new material, I almost switched the channel before realizing it was just the new Grom. I love the new Grom, but prefer the old music mixed with the Dylan duets, even though I'm still in my 20s. Don't worry about Tenneby's terrible music suggestion. Many of us enjoy your ramps and getting the story behind the song, which you do so eloquently. Keep up the work, me boy. Bombo Genesis guy, formerly teacher guy. Yeah, what Bombo Genesis, that was what they called the last major snowstorm, didn't they? Isn't it called the Bombo Genesis?
Yeah, that's right. That was a new term for me. I hadn't heard that before.
Is this the Bombo Genesis than what we're experiencing right now?
No, we're getting a polar vortex.
Do we need to name the polar vortex? I know. Let's name the polar vortex.
That is
brilliant.
What should we call it?
Hmm.
You know, they name hurricanes.
Yeah.
They name typhoons. And Barrero names snowstorms. I want to start naming polar vortexes.
Brilliant.
But what constitutes how cold does it have to be for it actually to have a name, to be a polar vortex? Do we know? Do we have any indication? Is there a bare minimum barbaric temperature that this is a polar? What constitutes a polar vortex? And then we got to think of the name, and that can take a long time.
It says here that with a polar vortex hitting, wind chills could dip below 55 degrees below zero. Let's see here. They happen when a jet stream amplitude increases over the northern hemisphere,
yeah,
causing
what's happening right now.
Rossby waves to propagate farther down south or north.
Also known as a Calcutta Clipper.
Correct.
Comes in, goes out, swings in, swings out, late for an influence, then out, as you know. So there's a Calcutta to go along with. I guess we won't name any polar, because this is the first polar vortex in 20 years, right?
Well, it's the coldest one in 20 years.
Oh.
I think we had one last year, too, if I remember right.
Well, then, you know what? I'm cornering the market on naming polar vortexes, because I need something to name, too. So what are we going to call this polar vortex?
That is an excellent question. What's topical right now?
Julian Edelman, because I just talked about Julian
Brilliant.
Edelman.
That could work.
Could work, couldn't it?
That's not bad.
It's very controversial. I had one other thing for you. Oh. I'll save this. Mark Rosen's coming. I don't want to get behind too far. Mark Rosen joins us next. Common Man program here on The Fan.
Mark Rosen joins The Common Man.
Oh, boy.
Next on The Fan. Paul.
The past never forgets in this intense continuation of the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo series starring Emmy Award winner Claire Foy. Own the Girl with the Spider Web, now on digital Blu-ray on February 5th. That's when it's available, but you can win your own copy now at KFAN.com. Just make the keyword contest.
Of Channel 4 Sports. Sports is your whole life, just sports fame. I'm the Common Man, Dan Cole. Doc Donaldson in for Tana B.
Yes.
You know the history behind the nickname Doc Donaldson, don't you?
I don't. I just call him Rhino every day.
So I call him Doc Donaldson because...
I think I know where
you're going. Go back to the Johnny Carson days.
Right.
When Ed McMahon would be out, Doc Severinsen would be the fill-in. Doc, of course, was the band leader.
Right.
But anytime Ed wasn't there for whatever reason, hangover, whatever appearance.
Sure. More than likely,
night
yes.
out in the town.
Right.
Doc Severinsen would come in. So when Tana B's not here, he fills in, so I call him Doc Donaldson, and he loves it.
That's a good nickname.
It is a good nickname.
It's a compliment. Because,
absolutely. It's
Doc Severinsen always did a terrific job.
Absolutely.
He loved me. There he is.
Well, that's actually
Herb Alpert. But this is kind of second home to Doc Severinsen. Well, I mean, he performed here. I'm saying using the word past tense.
Well, he still does. He
loved it.
He was here just last year. If you'll remember, he, like many musicians,
mm-hmm.
announced his retirement. He had one last tour. Then a year later, he goes, I miss it too much, and he's back at it. And they all do it. That's okay.
Yeah, I think.
I do think, though, when you hear retirement tour, last hurrah, sure. whatever it is, you do have to take it with a grain of salt. Because I think in some cases, they really do intend to retire. They go, right. I'm too old for this. But then once they retire, they go, what am I going to do now? Am I going to just weed my garden? No, I miss performance, and then they go out again. So if as long as you buy the ticket knowing it really might not be their last time, I think you'll be okay.
Yeah, I think we hear a lot of the comparison between athletes, and certainly Brady put to bed that whole idea of using that word retirement. There's zero chance. He said, I'm obviously going to come back and play football for the New England Patriots. I'm saying they miss the roar of the crowd. They miss the game day stuff. And I think for musicians in particular, I think there are a lot of men and women who are deep down pretty lonely souls. And when you leave the roar of the crowd and the roar of the stage and you go home and you're just another guy, you're just another person sitting at home, maybe eating a late night pizza. No, you might be living in a nicer place than most of us, but the point of the matter is, you can't get that rush anywhere else. And I think it's time and time again. We see that with bands, individuals. I mean, Elton John's making his farewell tour. He's coming here to town.
It's a three-year farewell tour.
Exactly. Who has a three-year?
Elton John.
Elton John does.
That's it. Well, it's funny you should mention that. It's not just musicians, though generally it is. But it's also prize fighters. There was a story about 6 months ago. I found it on my handheld computer, which doubles as a communication device. And the story was something, I can't remember the headline. I saved it for the longest time, never got into it. But it was about Floyd Mayweather. And it was something to the effect of, the headline was something like, why is Floyd Mayweather so bored? And then it kind of went into, it did a quick synopsis of Mayweather's career and then where he's been, where he's going, and where he's at. What it is he's got enough money to do anything he wants. He could go whitewater raft and he could become an artist. He could do anything he wants. But they miss the roar of the crowd. That's why very few prize fighters retire and that's it. They're done and never come back again. What happens is they miss being called champ and they miss training camp and the press conference. Like you say, the roar of the crowd. And then there's always hangers on that are going, you still got a champ. You should come back one last time. And so they come back. It's the same thing. It's like you say, you miss the musician misses the excitement of the live performance, as does the prize
substitute for it.
They say, as the prize fighter.
Right.
Mayweather's fought everybody, retired, 50-0, whatever it was. And then he comes back and he fights, the McGregor character.
Correct.
Then he fights the guy. Was it in Japan? He fought a guy.
I didn't pay attention to that. Yeah.
It ended up, there was nothing to that. But now there's talk about him maybe fighting Pacquiao again. It's because he's bored. That was like, remember the Super Bowl last year? He had billboards out all over.
Correct.
Money Mayweather, because he had trucks with his name because he misses
can't
the
get
limelight,
enough.
But nobody cares. Once you retire from prize fighting, nobody cares anymore. That's what they miss.
I get it. I've been retired for 3 weeks.
And nobody cares about you anymore.
No. No, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. You're all right with it, though.
I'm absolutely fine with it. I'm getting more than enough of a buzz from doing this show and the Power Trip and future podcasts. I am so thrilled to be home at night. I can't even, especially on a night like this.
You had the
I'm
wine.
I'm wearing a sweatshirt, and I haven't shaved in 2 days.
You've had the wine, the women, and the song.
Absolutely.
You've had it all. This email says, I work for the post office and was told Amazon will not be dropping off packages at my office tomorrow because of the weather.
You've got to be kidding
me. He says, by the way, today's supposed to be my day off. I volunteered to work. It's really not that bad if you're well prepared. Signed, 1415 guy. His lifelong dream is to one up the common man. That's why he calls himself 1415
sure, I get
guy.
It.
I had someone else say, give a shout out to the postmen out there that are delivering right now.
Absolutely. I have a good friend of mine, Amy, over at Edina Grill. Her hubby's a postal man, and he's, I mean, I don't know, he's door to door. No rain, nor snow, no sleet, nor...
Polar vortex.
Polar vortex is going to stop you from delivering the mail. And then they just raise the stamps yesterday because, you know, the post office is going broke.
55 cents a stamp now? Is that what I
said? For the forever stamp.
For the forever stamp.
Yeah.
Here's a phone call from Patrick. Patrick, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
You know, I was just listening to what Rosie said about poor Tom Brady having to go home to his Giselle on the couch.
No.
It's a rough life.
Isn't it tough?
Yeah.
But, you know, anyway, hey, listen, that's good for him. Good for him. It's good to be Tom Brady.
So anyway, Common, you were talking about naming the polar vortex.
Right.
And I hate to sound redundant here, but I think the best one for this time of the year would be Brady.
Brilliant. Hold on a second. Let me give you a little bit of a rim shot. I like it. Thanks, Patrick.
All right, brother.
Maybe this is Brady Vortex. Someone suggested, he says, this wind, he sent this email, booth@kfan.com. He says, Common, the wind chill's so cold, I found myself standing around a lot today trying to find things to do. How about Vortex Standrew? Thanks, me boy, Dr. Phil from St. Michael.
Well,
Standrew Wiggins.
He may be a statue outside of Target Target Center tomorrow night if he can't get inside that building. Both the Wolves and the Gophers are home tomorrow night, by the way. Both those games, I know the Gophers, both those games will be played. How many people will show up remains to be seen, but they're not calling them off.
No.
No, they're going to play.
They're going to play. Well, I said it earlier that, yeah, it's cold, but it's, I mean, if, again, if you do prepare for it, I'm all for having the schools off.
If
a business wants to close, that's fine. I wouldn't suggest spending much time outdoors, particularly.
But you can, I know what you're saying.
But I did get this. Common, love the new program, and I have to say, as usual, you're 100% correct with your take on the cold. We've seen this before. Everyone's acting like we're going to be dead within the day. Just to show everyone that it's nothing unusual, I suggest taking the show outdoors tomorrow, broadcasting from the streets of the West End. Be a great addition to the new program from It's Not That Bad Out Guy. Well, let's not get carried away.
Yeah, it's gotten progressively worse since this morning when I came in here for the power trip. It definitely is whipping around. It's like a holiday out there, at least for my drive. I'm not suggesting that everyone's drive is the same. But the 394 Express here for the downtown to here is holiday-ish like right now in terms of the sheer numbers of cars not on the roads.
And yesterday, because of the snow, going home yesterday was like driving during just a regular old afternoon.
Yeah.
You know, I went home at 4. I left here at 4 yesterday. And usually if I leave at 4, it's an hour. Snarl. It's an hour to get home. And it's usually without traffic on 35 minutes. It was 40 minutes. It barely backed up at all. And I would think there were a lot of people that just... I bet there are business. Do we know? Are a lot of businesses just closed up today? I know schools are, but
I think there's a significant number that certainly, if they not closed, they shut down early, probably half days.
I went to Pilgrim Dry Cleaners today. They were open. I went to John's Tailors in Roseville. Yeah, they were open. I think most people are saying, okay, it's cold.
I think smaller companies make that decision internally. Look, you've been through the whole discussion. I mean, there's plenty of parents. I mean, this is a difficult time for, you know, parents dealing with the kids and daycare, and, you know, it's not cheap, it's not easy, it's stressful, you know, all of the above when you have this happening. And I think, you know, as fair warning as they could possibly have gotten Sunday night, which is good because, you know, the communication age that we live in now, because you can get the word out quickly as opposed to, you know, the old days, and we had to wait for WCCO radio to announce the school closing. You know, we'd have our ear to the radio and wait for Dick Chapman or one of those guys, Roger Erickson, to tell us that our school was closed. And yippee-ki-yay, we've got to go back to sleep and start, you know, figuring out how we're going to waste our day, which didn't happen very often. But I think because of how good the communication is, it's much easier to get the word out. And I think, you know, I think in this case, they're making the right call overall.
Here's a phone call from John calling. John, you're on the fan. What's up, me boy?
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. It's nice to hear your warmth and generosity expounding upon our.
Yes, it's always good to hear from you.
Say, the criteria I tend to use for determining if we're actually in a polar vortex, I check my water heater, and when it freezes and the ice is still warm, then I know we're cold.
Yes, yeah.
That would do it, yeah.
Brilliant! That would be it. Mm-hmm. Thanks, John.
Very good.
Appreciate
it. Thank you, sir.
Yep, thank you.
You bet.
Now, because I have a fleet of cars, I have two that I have to park outdoors.
All the time.
Yeah. I plan to start them both early evening, let them run for 15 or 20 minutes.
But you got three cars?
I have five cars.
Why? What's the matter with you?
Why not?
Well, we only have you and how many people are driving your family? Well, now Deuce is driving,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, three.
All right. Well, what do you need five cars for? What a waste.
I don't need five
cars. Well, why? What do you do? Who are you, Jay Leno?
What's wrong with having five cars? How many do you own?
One.
One?
How many do I need to drive at one time? I drive my Honda Pilot.
Right. Well, my wife has...
My wife has a car.
So you have two?
Yeah, okay, we have... Yes.
Why do you need two?
Because I don't always have the same schedule.
All right.
Well, two is two people.
My wife has a vehicle.
Yeah, but you have... The math doesn't add up.
I have what we call a summer car. I bought a Jeep. It's been paid off.
Good for you.
And so I keep it with the top off, and I drive that in the summer.
So that one has to be outside. That's nice.
No, that's inside.
Okay.
That's right. In the third stall.
Okay.
Then my wife's aunt sold me a 1994 Cadillac
that had
20,000 miles on it, dirt cheap. I couldn't pass it.
No, I understand that.
So I bought that.
Bad time.
Then I have my wife's car.
So which ones are outside?
And then the Trailblazer, which I've been using now for about since 2012,
mm-hmm.
I'm passing that down to Deuce because he's going to get a driver's license.
Right.
And then I don't want to drive. I can't drive the Jeep during the winter because it doesn't have a top on it.
I get it.
The other Cadillac is, it's a 94. It's dainty.
Got
so
it.
I don't want to drive in the winter. So I bought another used car that I can take in.
But what I'm saying is you're not driving the Cadillac during the winter under any circumstances, correct?
Right.
So you don't care if it doesn't start or if it sits out in the wintertime at the moment.
Right.
I mean, you're not going to worry about it.
Right now it needs
to block the driveway.
It needs a new alternator.
Okay.
And so it's sitting in my garage. I'm glad you care so much about my transportation.
God. I don't, actually.
You should say you're sorry you asked.
I'm sorry I asked.
Because it was way too much information. What was I going to ask you about? What's happened to your women Gophers basketball team? What's happened?
They're not that good right now.
Well, they were ranked number what, like 12 whatever. In the
well,
country.
Well, I think that was non-conference. Let's get a hold of ourselves.
Well, but why were they ranked so high?
I don't know. I haven't been following them that closely. I know they had an injury or two. I think that, you know, when you have a situation where you have a prominent name, Lindsay Whalen, jumping at the chance, and rightfully so, to say I had enough of the WNBA, she retired, you know, as a champion, a four-time champion, whatever it was, and came back to her beloved University of Minnesota, it's going to take time. And I think Lindsay will make inroads with recruiting. You know, I'm not saying the cupboard was bare. I'm sure there are things that are going on. Again, I think there's an injury or two, which I can't name names. You know, Destiny Pitts has probably been their best player, but it's just a different level of competition. So you can't fix this. It's not going to get fixed this year. I think the hope is that you get the most out of it. They learn a lot by some of the losses they've incurred, and the players who are returning get stronger. They get better, and Lindsay does her thing as far as getting recruits. I know she's got one of the top recruits from Minnesota coming next year. And that's where she has to wait, do her magic. I mean, that's where Lindsay Whalen's name and her influence has to have some, not just state of Minnesota. You know, Lindsay Whalen's a big name nationally. So I think patience is what's necessary, what's needed when it comes to kind of retooling, rebuilding a program. It's been good. they've had, you know, they had some pretty good teams. I mean, going way back to, you know, when Lindsay was the player, when Pam Borton was coaching, and they had Janelle McCarville and Sean Rock and that bunch that I covered in the Final Four. Just a lot of fun to cover that team. They've had some other good runs, but, you know, it's now Lindsay's team and Lindsay's recruiting and her assistants, and, you know, I'm sure we'll figure it out. But I don't have a specific answer other than the fact that they're just obviously not shooting the ball very well, and they're probably not as good as most of the teams are playing.
Here's a phone call from Steve. Steve, you are on the Fan. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I just want to talk about the players and their being out of touch with the people.
Yes.
Yeah, so, yeah, and I don't necessarily disagree, but they're coming from their standpoint and their viewpoint of what they're dealing with, and I'm not going to justify it. I just think it's interesting, right? Carly Zucker was on the other day, okay, and she said her husband gets paid, and he didn't even bother watching the preseason game of the Wild playing when he was on the team because he was injured. It seems like to me we spend a lot of time taking one or two statements and judging folks, but I don't know the people you picked, whether that, you know, they work their tail off trying to get more minutes and then they get frustrated because they don't get more minutes. Right. But I do know we don't spend enough time talking about hockey players. They're probably out drinking all the time, and that has to affect their ability to play in a hockey game the next day than it does the basketball players playing Fortnite.
Huh?
What do you mean they're out drinking all the time?
Huh?
I don't understand what you're saying. The night before,
I can. Sorry?
The night before a game, what do you mean they're drinking all the time? I'm not quite sure.
After games, the hockey players go out and drink.
What are you basing this on?
People that have seen them and people I know that have seen them out, but we don't talk about that. And then one last quick point. They're not really elected to be in touch with people, opposed to Wilbur Ross, Donald Trump. They got elected to support the people, and we can go through all those slew of statements they've made recently and talk about out of touch. People that represent us are way out of touch.
All right, Steve.
I wasn't privy to the first part of that conversation, so I don't know how much else to say other than the fact that where you're getting information. But I think I can speak to the old days of what the North Star players, a lot of those players were like.
The
Glenn Sonmore, the Harry Neal, those guys partied hard constantly.
The out-of-touch thing started with when I did a new bit where I call the out-of-touch athlete.
Oh, I heard the promo, and I'm sorry to hear the content.
And it was just Edelman talking about how frustrating last year was. And,
sure.
You know, knee injury and wife having
right.
missed. And I was just talking about, well, for the average guy, you know. And then it was one of the Wolves talking about, you know, it's front, you know, got to just stay ready, be ready to go, because they've been getting more minutes. Deng, Tolliver, and is it Bayless?
Yes.
And then I just said, well, if I was making $5 million a year, I could be frustrated as well. So I was just having fun. And then he used that to jump to a political statement, I think, as well.
Well, first to start with the hockey statement.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not sure that this bunch that's on this Wild team is, I don't follow them around. We're not private eyes, but the idea they're out drinking. Do they have a beer or two? Probably, but I don't think of this group and players in general. They're much more disciplined than they used to be.
Yeah.
When all hell broke loose on legendary fashion, slapshot like fashion for many, many years.
Indeed. We'll pause. We'll come back more with Rosie after this on The Fan.
He's a breath of fresh air within the sporting commentariat. An antidote to the screeching blather that's overrun the field. It's Mark Rosen with The Common Man on The Fan.
I might go back to the Animals and the Dave Clark Five. This is not music.
Well, what do you want from me?
Jeez. I want something.
You want the Hip Now with it and Wild
nobody's
stuff?
Nobody's listening to this.
Post Malone wasn't good enough for you.
What's this?
This is Phoenix. It's a good song.
It actually is a good song.
You are not familiar with it.
I know. I've heard this song.
It's called 1901.
I would not have been able to tell you the artist. I'm not going to lie. But of course I've heard this song. I can never remember the name of the artist unless it's
you
on my radio.
You are the biggest fraud.
No, I might be, but that's not the point.
You haven't listened to a new song since Sinatra released.
That's New York, New York. No, when I listen to various stations on my satellite radio, obviously the Fan is always on my radio. But
I don't listen to satellite radio. I listen to terrestrial radio.
Terrestrial? Okay. Well, that too.
I listen to nothing but local radio, and it's iHeart only.
Okay. Well, you're a suck up, and that's okay.
No, just I'm loyal to my people that that allow me to make a living. Okay. Why are you laughing? I'm not like you. You can go ahead and be a traitor.
And you've never
heard this song.
Ever. I have heard it, but I would not.
When did you hear it?
I've heard it on the radio. I've heard different stations. I couldn't tell you who the artist was. I'm not going to lie about that. No way. Of course I've heard it. You haven't seen. The problem with you is that you haven't.
Of course I've heard it. Like everybody.
No, I'm not saying that. But
of course I've heard it. Haven't you, Common?
Well, you haven't.
That's a really familiar tune.
You didn't know there was a movie made since Godfather 2.
There's nobody out there listening that had any idea what that song was. You pretended.
No, I did. I would tell you if I don't have to pretend. I'm out of TV now. Hi, Barb. Lil B's back there hanging
You're
out.
Fraud.
Maybe.
I'm in the meat grinder back here.
Why? Uh-oh.
Oh, it's promotional stuff.
Oh, boy. Never, so she's giving you the death stare.
You've never heard that song.
I have heard the song. There's nothing to gain by saying I haven't. I made it up.
No, but you want people
no,
to think
I don't.
You're hip
no,
now.
No, I'm not hip yeah. now. I listen to Sinatra a lot on the radio.
Okay. This guy says, hockey player's drinking caller. He says, the NBA is notorious for its players smoking weed. Just look at their marijuana policy. Are NBA players notorious for players smoking weed?
I'd say
you've heard that too. You've heard everything. I've heard nothing.
You've heard nothing.
I've never heard that.
Yes, I think there's probably more association with.
I'm not saying there aren't NBA players that smoke weed. What do you mean they're notorious?
NFL?
Are they all smoking weed?
Of course not.
Notorious for smoking weed.
Notorious means
everybody knows it.
Right. A certain segment of the NFL. How many players are on the NBA
American? Do they have a marijuana policy in the NBA? Can you smoke marijuana?
No, they don't. You can't. You're not. They're more relaxed, I think, in the way they approach it. But no, if you're in a state that's illegal to smoke marijuana, you know, recreational marijuana is legal in a number of states. But when they're playing the Denver Nuggets, I guess you can. But if the commissioner steps in, and it's up to the team at that point. I don't know where this discussion's going.
Here's another one. Minnesota Wild Night Out. Because I ran into a group of about 8 Wild players last year around this same time at a bar. Now, I'm going to leave the names out, okay?
Oh, that's fine.
But because I don't know if any of this is true, and I don't want to disparage anybody. He says, this player could hardly stand up at the end of the night, and this other player was noticeably drunk. There were other players there, all within the age range of 21 to 26, albeit this was the Super Bowl, but they had a game the next day and went on a 5-game skid the following night. So he's saying he witnessed a bunch of Wild players out. Two certainly, one he said could barely stand up. Says another was noticeably drunk, and then they went on a 5-game skid. Now he said, now it was Super Bowl week, so they were partying.
Okay. Again, what's the point of these sightings and stories? Are you going to draw a line between all that and talk about the players? Do players get drunk? Yes. Does it happen all the time?
Well, are they taking their job seriously?
Okay.
They got a game the next night? Well, what do you think? I'm not saying they can't. It's not illegal.
I think players have to be careful.
They can do what they want.
I think,
but can't you say it's also your responsibility that if you're getting paid big money, people are buying tickets, you should come prepared and not hungover to the game?
Yes. And I think if players, especially people who are in the limelight, if they're out in public, if you're not drinking in your home and having a bunch of teammates over, having a party where no one's there except for your teammates. If you're out in public, you have a responsibility to hold yourself with some sort of responsibility. Yes, because people are watching, and in particular sports people, they know who you are, and they're judging you constantly, no matter how you're acting. Yes, you have to be extra careful about that. And to get
as a responsibility to the team, because if you're hungover, I don't care what you're doing unless it's
a
drinking
thing.
Contest.
No,
you're not going to be at your
best. I mean, again, you're
letting down your teammates, the fans.
It's not a good thing. And I think we go back to the eras of when it was much more acceptable and much more prevalent, where players in all sports would end up doing that. I mean, I guess it's no more or less acceptable than what baseball players were doing with the uppers and downers and
screamers
and laughers and everything else that were going on to get themselves up for a game the next day. I mean, there are legendary stories about athletes who were hungover who had their best performances of their careers. But that's not an excuse, but I think you have, when you're in public, yeah, you have to carry yourself with some responsibility as well. Of course you do.
Just play Greta Van Fleet for comment. He can't not like that. I've not heard Greta. I know all about it. It's apparently they're a spitting image musically to Led Zeppelin. Well, if I want to hear a band that sounds like Led Zeppelin, I'll listen to Led Zeppelin.
Right.
I don't need to listen to a band. They sound a lot like Led Zeppelin.
Okay, I agree with you on that one. I go old school with you on that.
And that's fine. I'm not saying that Greta Van Fleet shouldn't be successful and get airplay and have fans, but I don't need it.
I understand.
I live in the past. I live in the past music.
Well, that's a good place to be.
I think most people do. I think more people, their personal jukebox, I've talked about this on the air.
I know.
It stops at a certain time. Not everybody. There are some people that continue to evolve, and they're listening to new music all the time. But I would be willing to venture a guess that there aren't a lot of 40, 15, 60-year-old guys listening to KDWB. The new one from Lady Gaga. I don't think they are. There are some, but that's mostly people that are consuming.
Well, if you're talking more classic rock and roll and... Yeah, depending on what your playlist would be on your...
My playlist stopped growing late 80s when I stopped working at a music radio station. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden I got into other things in my life and I was too busy to go, I'm going to spend an hour listening to new music. I just stopped. Yeah. So when I wanted to listen to music, I would listen to things I was familiar with.
I think that's an easy thing for us to do.
But I think a lot of people do that.
Yeah, I think the older you get, the more nostalgic you get for that music.
But on the other hand, are always consuming everything.
I'm not. I'm just saying I've heard the song before. I have no idea who the artist was.
Here's an email. Rose in his hip. I can't believe he didn't realize how hip Rose is. He hangs out with all the young kids from the morning show.
Hangs out with them.
He's just one of the bros. He's brosen. You're just brosen is who
that's an exaggeration. I don't play when Corey Cove has us over to his man cave. I do not play video games with those guys. I'm usually hanging out with Lawyer Lambert, you know, having a scotch in the corner or something.
This emailer says NBA and weed, they don't test. It's like saying it's okay to do. I have no issue with that. Don't sugarcoat it, Rosie. Homer, love you. I don't know. They don't test for marijuana in the NBA. Well, if they don't, then maybe it is prevalent. I don't know. I don't know why people need to alter their mind, but if that's what they need to do, let them do it. Got a couple of calls coming in. We'll take those calls, and we'll. I want to pick your brain about a couple of other sports items. Other side of the break, Common Man program on to fans. Off Led Zeppelin 4, Houses of the Holy. Yeah, Led Zeppelin.
This is great stuff.
This is off on...
Which album?
Is this off Houses of the Holy or Led Zeppelin 4?
I'm thinking it's Led Zeppelin 4.
Okay. Or maybe... No, this is off... This is off Physical Graffiti.
Yep, that's what it is. Yeah, I'm just eye-hopping it. You were right.
That's what... When I want to listen to a band that sounds like Led Zeppelin, I listen
to
Led Zeppelin. It's Makes Polar sense. Vortex Brady. Speaking of Tom Brady, you saw the 10-year-old that won a science fair project by determining that Tom Brady did cheat. He did just recently. He tested balls of varying...
Right.
Inflation, right. And you can throw the ball further. Mm-hmm. And he won first prize at the science
fair. That's pretty
cool. Now, did you see what the guy in KDKA TV did?
No.
Okay. This story, there was a screen, it was Tom Brady, apparently, I don't know if this is at the, that's a Super Bowl press conference. See the picture there? And see what it says on underneath? The picture's labeled known cheater. It says Tom Brady, known cheater.
We call him Chirons. Yeah, the title.
Chiron, right. That's it. The Chiron says known cheater. The writer for SI.com says, the main problem you have with this isn't calling Brady a cheater. It's that Boston fans feed off this sort of hate more than any other fan base. And he thinks that they're all going to have anti-KDKA t-shirts on at the Super Bowl parade. writer goes on to say, I've reached out to KDKA to ask, this is a Pittsburgh TV station, sure, by the way, whether multiple people signed off on the cheater Chiron, or if it was a rogue editor's joke, and whether they'll be reprimanded. I'll update this post.
I think that would be the latter. I mean, it's funny. I hope people...
What is funny?
A sense of humor about it.
Well, yeah, if it was rogue, I don't think he should be punished for it.
No. I mean, it's not like...
And everybody knows it's a fact, though, too, that...
Well, they were busted for it.
Yeah, they've cheated.
Yeah.
They're known cheaters.
No, I don't think it's going to be a factor on Sunday. Or probably has been a factor pretty much anything that's happened lately. So.
And
for that team.
I don't think the Patriots are winning Sunday, by the way.
You don't? You like the Rams?
Unless...
It can't be unless.
Well,
what
here's the key. If the Patriots get to Gurley early, and if Goff is off, then they're going to be in trouble. But if Goff is on and Gurley has success early...
The Rams win?
I think the Rams are going to
win. Brilliant!
Let's take a couple of phone calls here in the order in which they were received. Scott, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I got two things. A quick story and then a question for the Frozen Rosen.
Yes, sir. I love that.
First story, so you're talking about the wild drinking thing. I've got one with a happy ending. So a few years ago now, I was out for a bachelor party with Mark Parrish, and Zach Parise showed up. We had no idea why he was in town. And we were all just having a couple beers real calm, and I saw his Bud Light was almost out. So I went to the bar, got a couple for each of us, and he says, what do I owe you? And I said, nothing, Zach, just come play for the Wild. 24 hours later, he's signing in Minnesota.
So think about
that's the turning point.
So you're responsible for it, sounds like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't want to take all the credit. There was a pretty decent contract, but I'll take a little bit. The other question I had for Mark was, I've been looking online every day. I was wondering if you knew the release date for your masterclass on sports broadcasting.
Well, since my son works for Masterclass, I would hope that he would edit it, but that's probably not happening.
you've done a lot of things for him over the years, a lot of sacrifice.
Yeah.
I think he could pull a couple strings.
Well, I will try to engage you with. I'm looking forward to a podcast. I know that's a new thing. Everyone's doing podcasts these days, and that's good. I'm excited about it because unlike television, you kind of do have free reign to kind of just go for as long as you'd like, and. I hope that I can answer some of those questions and tell some more stories, at least for starters, before I get into some other things. So that'll probably be my so-called master class during the podcast, if I can help and answer some questions along the way. I appreciate it.
Here's a phone call from Go Knights Guy. Go Knights Guy, you're on the fan. What's up, me boy?
Mike, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Say, I can prove the Wild story was false, but first I do have a name for your vortex.
Okay.
Or a suggestion. For decades now, they've been telling us the Vikings, when they win the big game, that's when hell will freeze over. So I think it should be called the Vikings Vortex, because next year I think we'll knock that door down. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure I'm buying into that quite yet. But
well, it sounds good. Viking Vortex.
I do like it.
What else you got? Anything?
That Wild story, that email is false. And this is the reason it's false. The Wild have no player under 30 because it's hard to stick handle when you're pushing a walker.
Wah, wah. Thanks, me boy.
Knew that was coming.
Yeah. Jimbo, you're next up on the fan. Jimbo, what's up?
Yeah, I remember Lenny Dawson firing up a burner at halftime.
Well,
was Lenny firing up a burner at halftime? Did he have a heater?
Yeah.
He's not the only one. There's a famous picture of him sitting on his locker chair, firing one up. Oh my! I mean, I used to go when I covered when the North Stars played. Denny Savard,
thanks, Jimbo.
Denny Savard was a chain smoker for the Blackhawks. Remember how fast a hockey player he was? He'd go. I mean, these guys would be smoking in the locker room after the game.
Yeah,
it was commonplace. It was a bit of slapshot, but that wasn't that. I'm not talking about even going back to the 70s with the North Stars. I mean, Denny Savard played a lot later than that, but I'm sure a lot of those guys did. It just was a different...
Having a heater.
Yeah. And football players, there was that famous picture of Lenny Dawson.
I don't remember that. Why don't I remember?
I don't know. It's
I've
seen it a lot. I think if you saw it, it's almost...
Right.
I'm going to say it's as iconic as the Y.A. Tittle, bleeding from the head, or the Joe Namath finger in the air, number one, after beating the Colts, but it's a pretty cool shot. Just shows you the difference of the world that they lived in.
Super Bowl 53 whatever it is. It's funny how things that originate on the Grom suddenly start to spread like wildfire.
Amazing, isn't it?
And everybody has started to... The theory I came up with quite some time ago that what New England is better at than anybody is the New York Times crossword puzzle approach to football. In other words, we don't have to have an identity. Mm-hmm. We don't have to be a passing team, mm-hmm. or running team. This. What we do is we look at week one and we go, that team, their strengths are this and their weaknesses are that. We'll exploit their weaknesses and we'll prepare for their strengths.
Right.
So going into this game, my guess is Bill will have something up his sleeve. From the Los Angeles point of view, they're offensively, are they the second highest scoring team this year? I think it was KC one and LA was two.
Real close.
A lot of misdirection.
Sure.
They have all this new funky offensive stuff. That's basically their strength. I don't think their defense is bad, but it's certainly not
vulnerable.
Great. They have two wonderful players in Donald and Sue, though.
Oh, absolutely.
So their defense
is
solid.
Yeah.
Their defense is solid. What do you think will be the trick up Bill's sleeve? Particularly, I'm more concerned thinking about what is he going to do defensively to try to slow the Rams down.
I think he's going to try to somehow rattle Goff. I mean, get the what's your saying goes about Jared Goff?
Getting make sure Goff is off.
Yeah, I mean it's a big stage for a young kid, and I think experience does matter in this case. I think they'll try to rattle him enough, and they're pretty good at that. Again, I like the Patriots in the over because I think the Rams will score. The New England defense is opportunistic, but I think certainly they can be scored upon. We've seen that. It's not so much what their defense will do. I think what Belichick does, he's just relentless. And as you mentioned, it is like a crossword puzzle. They find and will exploit those weaknesses. And the Rams have plenty of them in the secondary. And whether it's going to Edelman, going to Gronkowski early on, we'll have Tony Romo doing the game. I'm sure he'll be playing chess with the play calling.
I'm already getting bored of people raving about that. I get it, but I'm just saying
he will.
How many times are we going to hear that? Boy, he's just so good at guessing the plays before they happen.
I know.
Okay,
you've got to pick your spots. I think if you're Tony Romo, let things happen and then digest them and spit them out afterwards. And he's pretty damn good at that. But I think that's what Belichick does so well. I mean, put it this way. I'll ask you the question: if the Rams win the coin toss, I would take the football.
But most teams
defer. Yeah, we had this big controversy like, well, in overtime, if you win the coin toss, you're going to win the game. Well, then why does almost every team, when they win the coin toss, defer to the second half? Because they want the ball to start the second half.
Yeah.
But really, what does it matter? I don't want to give Tom Brady, after what they've been through, and they do this time and time again, give him the ball to start the game and have him go 80 yards in 10 plays.
I said that after the Kansas City game. I don't know why Kansas City started the game.
If I'm the Rams, if I win the toss,
I don't know why
the football.
I don't know why Kansas City elected to kick off.
Because
then what New England did is they said, thank you very much, and they went on.
Especially when those plays are those so-called scripted plays.
They went
plays
out on was it a 13, 14, 8-minute, 75-yard drive?
Right away.
They scored a touchdown.
They recovered from it. But
What do you make of Roby Coleman, the cornerback for the Rams?
Yeah, flapping his lips.
Do you think that's, a lot of people are going, boy, he should open up his mouth. He's really going to fire Brady up.
Who cares?
Yeah, I don't.
I don't think it's probably the smartest thing in the world to kind of go after Brady's vulnerabilities,
yeah, considering ages and this and that.
Yeah, I probably not. I mean, what's the wisdom in that? What's the upside to that? I mean, other than playing head games with a guy that's impervious to those sorts of things.
Or appears to be. Anyway.
Appears to be. But I think, you know, he does
seem to use that as fuel for his fight.
Well, again, the New England's looking for every.
He did so.
They don't believe in us.
He did so, yeah, with the don't believe us thing when everybody said, I think San Diego's got a chance to win this game. And then he used that as everybody in the country said New England is done and can't win, which is the furthest thing from the truth.
Well,
there were some people picking San Diego, and for good reason, a very good football team. So he used that, and he basically exaggerated what people were saying, and I'm sure he'll take this and use this as ammunition.
I can't remember what New England was favored by here at US Bank Stadium last year against the Eagles. I assume they're pretty close to where the number is right now, 2.5-3 point favorites.
That sounds about right.
I don't think it was any bigger than that. Maybe I'm wrong. I honestly don't remember. But I think, keep in mind, that's what's fueling the Patriots. They did not bring home the Lombardi Trophy last year. As much as they're in the championship game and they're in the big game, they don't always win it, and I think that's what's fueling Belichick and fueling Brady again and again, that they have another opportunity, and I don't think they swing and miss this time. And I'd love to see the Rams win. Don't get me. I love watching
that
team.
I think the Rams are going to win.
I hope you're right. I hope they do, but
I know I'm right.
Well, sounds like a wager.
Go ahead and bet a lot of money.
No, I'm talking about you.
You've got a bookie in it. I don't bet money on things I don't have no control.
Well, you did with me once, and you lost.
And that's why I don't do it.
You're done now.
Well, I was done before. That was just
okay. Well, no, I don't know if I'm going to bet on the game.
Bet heavy on New England.
Bet
heavy on New England.
I wouldn't bet heavy on them because I want the Rams to win. Oh. I find myself, you know, I don't want to do that because I'd rather cheer for not cheer. You know, I mean, I like to see the Rams. I want to see a good football game. That's what I really care about. But
so, in other words,
but I do like New England to win it.
You want to bet with your heart than your head. Because you would think New England's going to win, but you don't want to have, because your heart is with the Rams, you don't want
to. Well, no, that wouldn't bother me that much. All right. If I bet on New England, I'll be rude. Money does influence that sort of decision.
The Wolves sent out a tweet 3 or 4 days ago after the game where they came back, cut it to one after being down by 23.
I know. In Utah. Yeah.
The tweet said something to the effect of
heart.
It said down 4 players, an ejection, down 23. Yeah. We cut it to 1. Don't ever question the Timberwolves' heart.
Yeah.
And they ended up losing the game. Well, here's something that's this is what you're supposed to do. This was last night. Despite being down by 25 points in the second half, the Denver Nuggets defense stepped up in the fourth quarter. They finally found their offense in the final 10 minutes of the game, with key reserve Malik Beasley stepping up in a big way to help deliver the Nuggets' 34th win of the season. So, in other words, they were down by a big amount of points. And you know what? They didn't just show they had a big heart.
They won.
They won the game. That's what the Wild or the Wolves need
now,
to do.
They also have the best young player in the game right now. And Jokic, that kid is just, was he the third overall pick? My God, is he good. But you're right. No, it was the bench players as well. Remember the Wolves in Denver last year with the team? They were fighting for that playoff spot the last. And look at the ascension of the Denver Nuggets this year. Right now in first place in their division, easily, you know, by 3 games, a 34-15 record. They may be the team that challenges death lineup for the for the Western Conference title this year.
They might win one game against Death Line.
They might. You're right. I get it. I mean, now they have Cousins. Now we're interested to see how this Anthony Davis thing is going. It's just the NBA.
Davis, that's the kid from New Orleans that demanded a trade, right?
Right.
If I understand it correctly, he can be traded by the deadline, but not to Boston because Boston already traded.
Yeah, it gets complicated
So he can't go to Boston. No, it would be a perfect fit for winning a title.
Right.
So, but he could get traded to the LA Lakers, right?
Sweet. It's possible. I don't know who to give up for him. Everybody.
Anyone
else that. Well, sure. Anyone else not named LeBron, I guess.
Or he plays out the rest of the season in New Orleans.
But this is the way it goes with the star system of the NBA. This is why I
actually enjoy it because I don't care enough. I would love to see Davis go to
the Lakers.
To go to the Lakers this year.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it. Try to push death lineup. Because right now nobody can beat death lineup.
No,
not in a 7-game series.
Boogie Cousins now sometimes he's a liability, but still
they could beat him in a regular season game. Golden State could lose tonight. Well, yeah, but when it comes to the once the playoffs begin and you get to a seven game series, there's
it's funny. I mean,
there's no chance.
Yeah, Indiana's got a nice team in the East. They beat Indiana at Indiana last night by 32 points. Just messing, not even messing around. They won by 32.
Barrett Sports Media named the Power Trip Morning Show the 12th best morning show in the country on an all sports radio station.
I heard that.
Paul Allen, the 12th best.
Uh-huh.
Midday sports show on the Common Man, the 13th best.
Are you okay with that?
Well, yeah, because if you'll remember, the midday consumes two shows.
Right.
So really, when I'm 13, I'm really like sixth.
I think you should go with that.
Well, it's just true.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, it's Common Man math. It's you know, we learned to count in Detroit.
No.
0-1, 0-2, 0-3. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
Doc, thanks for having me.
Hey, great job.
You too. We're back tomorrow at 12 noon. Stick around, though. Dan Barrero, JGR next. Stay warm and make sure you pack that emergency kit in your car today.
And good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Wherever you are.
Listen back to a podcast of today's show. Visit the Common Man channel on the iHeartRadio app or go to KFAN.com.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.